Continue with our conversation on Radio Miraya as we speak to our guest today.
Well, my name is Nyantan Joseph.
My name is Prosper Sasa.
So, as we mark the day of African Child, we turn our focus to critical issues affecting millions of young people. That is access to clean water, sanitation, and hygiene in schools.
Today we're joined by two young voices, UNICEF's young reporters Nene Atif and Richard Robert, who are here to share their experiences, perspectives, and hopes for a healthier future for the children in South Sudan. So, Nene, this year we are focusing on water, sanitation, and hygiene. Why do you think this topic is important for the children?
I will first start with greeting my fellow citizens. As in my perspective, I think the water hygiene is a very important topic to tackle on, because without a healthy child, there is no healthy nation.
Yeah. So, Rishad, so from your own experience, like, what are some of the challenges that young people face in schools when it comes to clean water and hygiene? So can you tell us more?
Okay, all right. When it comes to water, sanitation, and hygiene, basically in schools, children face a lot of challenges. Like in some schools, there's insufficient water. The water is usually dirty, overcrowded toilet facilities, and some schools usually lack toilet facilities. And then the sanitation around the school is not encouraging at all. It's not conducive for learning. So children endure a task the whole day because there's no water. Some may even fall sick and miss classes, affecting their performance.
Yeah. That's actually true.
That's according to him. So
how do these challenges affect learning, attendance, or even confidence, especially for girls, Nene?
For girls, mostly like in the menstrual periods, it's so tough because I need to feel clean so I can like face my fellow colleagues, because without a clean health, or without me being clean, I feel so I lack a lot of confidence. So I think clean water hygiene is very important for mostly girls. I'm not saying also boys are to be included out of it, because also if boys also have lack of self-confidence, it also affects their studies and make them perform poorly.
How do you think like the sanitations and like affect the girls?
The girls mostly like, as I said, when it tackles to menstrual health,
yeah,
without clean water, it makes it more difficult. Because when you're in your menstrual, you need clean water.
You're very sensitive.
Yes,
yeah.
You're very sensitive. So any contact with unhygienic water is going to lead to a lot of complications, which also, as the science explains, will affect you in further futures to come.
Yeah.
So, Rishad, can you share a personal story or something you have seen that really shows the impact of poor sanitation in schools?
Yeah, I can tell from a school I visited once, whereby the school only have one water facility, which is a borehole. And with a number of children over 1,000, they all have to struggle for that water. So people fight for water, and at times the water is actually dirty. So what they do is fill it in bottles, cover it with their uniforms, and then drink it like that. And then you see in the next day, the children are absent because of diarrhea, typhoid.
That's really affected.
That's really bad.
Yes.
So have you seen any positive changes or good examples of schools improving these conditions? I'm sorry.
Yeah. There are actually a lot of schools which have improved in such kind of conditions.
Yeah.
To mention one of them, I can say schools like Juba Diocese and Komboni Secondary School.
Juba Diocese is always good. So.
Yeah. Because wherever you go, you find water. There are enough toilet facilities for all the students, and they're usually clean. So it's actually encouraging, because children don't have to worry about water or toilet facilities at all. So they concentrate in studies.
I think most schools, you know those water filter things, they're really helpful.
Yes.
Because at random, children come, then they just fill up the bottles without worrying that they're going to get sick. Yeah. The water is clean. Yeah,
exactly.
So what simple actions can your schools or communities take to improve hygiene and sanitation? So, Nene, can you please explain?
On my suggestion, they should not make water facilities limited for kids and leave the water, but also the cups that we drink through it. There should be enough cups, because if there are lesser cups, this it means that there is a high risk of infections to be transmitted so easily.
Yeah.
Because in a school, you find mostly in primary schools where it's commonly, you find there is like 1,000 pupils and then there's only 5 cups. So imagine five cups for 1,000 students. It's
doesn't
so bad.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all.
Mostly this, I remember when we were young, you know, those young heads, when you're young,
yeah,
you give your friend this, then he'll take from this. Then again, the way the mouth is filthy,
exactly,
along with the water. So that really causes sickness.
And this is how even diseases spread themselves through cups like plastics, like this.
Yeah, but the problem again, if they take plastic cups to school,
it's dangerous.
It's not, there is a fact that they will litter it everywhere. Because in South Sudan, rubbish is too much.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we need to just find a way to make water healthy at the same time,
mm-hmm,
to make the children learn how to use it to avoid wastage.
I can give an example. Like in Komboni, in each class,
yeah,
there is a pot. And in each, like on each pot, there is a cup. So if we are to somehow spread that ideology around this country, it would limit the number of diseases, and it will also limit the littering of rubbish around.
If schools were to improve hygiene and water supply, what changes do you think we are going to see here in South Sudan?
There won't be a lot of sicknesses, mostly like typhoid.
Yeah.
And then also the transmitted diseases, it will also limit. And also, like outbreaks of Ebola, we will also hear lesser cases of it. Though they say it transmits through air, but also sharing of facilities also can.
Yeah, we really pray that it doesn't reach here, because it has not reached here. So we should start.
Yeah, yes. Because South Sudanese are so confident of their weather, saying it's too hot, so Ebola won't reach us.
Yeah, it's because like there's a way diseases don't like hotness.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because it
we
burns.
Are kind of distracted by the like the heat or the temperature that is high in South Sudan.
So the changes, I think South Sudan would be actually a very safe place.
Mm-hmm.
People think that the heat of this country is a disadvantage, but
it's
actually it's very good, because if we look at it, diseases like they prefer coldness, because that way they'll move fast.
Yeah, exactly. They generate fast.
Yeah, but
coldness.
When this hotness, it doesn't really come.
So, Mr.
Okay, I'll have to come in, because if people are not experts, we'll not be hearing from you. But anyway, thank you so much for speaking to us. Let's hear your last remarks as we conclude the conversation.
Okay. I would like to send this direct to our leaders. I've seen they have brought water facilities like these small water supplements around the country. So if they are to also make it in schools, it will help a lot, because in areas it helps. So it will also bring a high point of advantage if it's also been broadcasted or but if it's been made at school. So if they're hearing us, because I'm so sure they're hearing us, it will be so great that they do it. It will help us a lot.
So Nene Atif and Rishid Roberts, UNICEF's young reporters, thank you for talking to us this morning, and happy day of African chai in advance.
Yeah, I really had fun.
In advance too.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. And those are the voices of the children that we have in the program who have taken up our hot seats. And as you can hear, they're doing so well. It's Irene Lasu and Juma Emmanuel Lusanda, of course, Sasa and Nyaton, taking you all the way until 9 a.m. Thank you.